So today we're continuing the series, this little three-part series called You Were Born to Fly. And it's really just something that's grabbed a hold of me as I've just been preparing and thinking about it. It really is something that I think we need to get to grips with, just the concept of moving from infancy to maturity in our faith. And so this is the second part of the series, and we're thinking about the different stages in our own lives that lead us into maturity. That's essentially what this little series about. Last week we talked about being hungry. That's what I entitled the message, Hungry. And next week we're thinking about the happy stage of life, and this week we're thinking about the hidden stage of life, which is so crucial, I believe, to our growth and maturity in faith. So I'm looking forward to next week because it's a happy week. But I'll unpack what I mean by happy a little bit in a few moments, but obviously next week. So hungry, I just want to recap on last week. If anybody wasn't here, part of a three-part series. Hungry last week was we looked at the first stages of the life and growth of a caterpillar and related that to our relationship with Jesus. And the fact that we're on that journey from infancy to maturity. When a baby is born, its main priority, its focus is about food. It doesn't stop crying until it's got what it wants, which is usually food. And likewise, caterpillars, their priority is food. It's their sole objective. It's their raison d'etre. And when a believer is born into the faith, their priority is food also. And if you remember last week, we talked about the difference between good food and bad food. And if we don't eat good food in the early years of our faith, then we can quite easily and quickly become unhealthy and even sick. Remember Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. For righteousness. Remember I talked about the very hungry caterpillar, one of my favourite kids' stories, who stuffed himself full of junk food, effectively, and it wasn't until he got to the nice green leaf that he ate and he was filled and he was satisfied because it was good food, good for his body. And likewise, good food, the good food of the word is health to our spiritual lives. And only then do we become satisfied. And so he ate the green leaf and then he shed his skin. It's crucial that caterpillars shed their skin to make room for growth. That's what I was saying. And these skins represent the things that we need to break through in order to grow up to maturity in our faith. And the key is learning to let go. It's learning to let go of the old to make room for the new things, for the new growth in our lives. And we've got to move on from the basics in faith into deeper truth. And remember, we started by thinking about how the writer to the Hebrews basically said to them, what are you doing? You've been believers for so long, but you're still not moving on into maturity. You're still living an infant faith. And Eugene Peterson puts it so brilliantly in the Message version like this from Hebrews 6. He says, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundation truths are in place, like turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust toward God, like baptismal instructions, like laying on of hands, like resurrection from the dead, like that's a basic truth. Eternal judgment. God helping us will stay true to all of that, but there's so much more. There is so much more, so let's get on with it. That's Eugene's interpretation of Hebrews 6, which I think is brilliant. So we've explored those first stages of a caterpillar's life. which are relevant to our spiritual life and growth, aren't they, as followers of Jesus. So this week we're going to be thinking about the middle stage of a caterpillar's, there's lots of difficult words this morning, which I'm going to test you on, okay? A caterpillar's metamorphosis, okay? The transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And so biologically, the caterpillar goes through this process of shedding the layers of its skin, breaking through the stages of growth in its early formation. It sheds its skin four times. I said that last week. And then the fifth time, the layer of skin that it grows, this new layer of skin, becomes its chrysalis. And sometimes called a cocoon. But actually, that's not true for a butterfly. You learn something new every day, don't you? But a cocoon is what a moth kind of creates around itself. So a butterfly creates a chrysalis, and a moth creates a cocoon. There you go. And then for 2 weeks, this chrysalis becomes the place of transformation for the caterpillar. He first of all locks himself, or anchors himself, or hooks himself onto the stem or the vine of the host plant, and hanging from what will soon become, as it forms within the chrysalis, its legs, hanging from its legs on the stem of the host plant. And then it begins this fascinating process of what's called holometabolism. Can you say that? Turn to the person next to you and say holometabolism. Holometabolism. Say it quicker. Holometabolism. Holometabolism. Great. Holometabolism is just incredible. A chap called Harrison Owen wrote a book called The Power of Spirit, and he describes this process of holometabolism like this. Inside the chrysalis, far from curious eyes, an incredible process takes place. The caterpillar quite literally dissolves into some sort of primal ooze, a real mess. And then, following directions coded somewhere from within that mess, the raw protoplasm reaggregates. And what was once a crawling beastie now has the hardware to fly. See, you have the hardware to fly. You were born to fly. But at the moment, you might look like a bit of a mess. Don't take offense. We all go through mess in life, don't we? But you have within you the hardware to fly. Now, what essentially is happening here in this process is transformation. But the important thing to remember for us is to realize that in essence, everything that was found in the caterpillar, everything that was formed in the caterpillar has gone into the form of the butterfly. There was nothing that was taken away or added in that process. Everything's the same. It's still the caterpillar, but it is transformed into a butterfly. And so there's that process of being reformed or transformed into a new and different way of living and being. And we'll look more closely at that next week, which I'm really excited about, the Imago week, which talks about being happy, being made in the image of Christ. And in that we find our true self, we find our true identity as a Christian, a little Christ. But for us, it's important to know that this process transforms us into who we were always meant to be. Into who we were all being transformed into the real you. That sounds good, doesn't it? Don't you find that often it feels like we're on this journey to find the real us? I remember, especially in my 20s, It's almost like the 20s to 30s, that's kind of like the real, it's so obvious. Like, I'm trying to find who I am, what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And you just, sometimes you just don't feel like you've got it. And then you feel like you're really old once you pass 30. Things just start falling into place and you realize you haven't got it all together, but you're feeling a bit more comfortable with who you are. Is that true? Is that a fair kind of summary of life? Apparently, when you get to the age of 47 and you're a man, everything falls apart. That's what I learned yesterday. So I'm a few years off that yet, but everything falls apart, and that's what's called a midlife crisis. And then you start doing silly things like buying sports cars and stuff like that. That's what my father-in-law did. Anyway. So next week it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. But where I want to start, I want to make sure that we start this week, is this. The gospel is a message of hope, isn't it? The gospel is a message of hope. And it's really important that we start there this week, because as we think through these next stages of metamorphosis, as we will soon discover, it can be easy to get overwhelmed. When we go through this, what I'm going to call monumentous transformation, it can be a bit kind of overwhelming, especially if we don't learn to embrace that process. We can kind of lose control. It feels like we're losing control of our lives. And so we need an anchor, don't we? Remember, that's the first thing that the caterpillar does before he kind of goes into this chrysalis stage. He anchors himself to the host plant, to the stem or to the vine of the host plant. Hebrews 16 verse 9 says, "We have this hope, Jesus, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Hebrews 6 verse 16 verse 9. We have this hope in Jesus as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hope in Jesus, the true vine, is our anchor point. So whatever life throws at us, we are anchored into hope. And that's the thing that separates us, isn't it, from anything and anyone who goes through difficulty in life and doesn't have Jesus. Sometimes I wonder what it's like, because I've been a follower of Jesus for most of my life. I can't really remember a time when I didn't know God. And so going through difficult times, I often think to myself, I wonder what it's like to not know Jesus and to not have Jesus in these circumstances. I remember when the horrific kind of ordeal that my mum went through with dementia for 12 plus years, for me that was a really difficult time, really difficult. And I don't know what I would have done without Jesus, to be honest, and the times that I just needed to get alone with him and just kind of cast all my cares and anxieties on him. But for those who know Jesus, to use a common phrase, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, isn't there? Always. Because even if at the end of the tunnel we experience physical death, we know that we have eternal life. That's our hope. And even better, even when we are going through the tunnel, even when we're going through the darkness and the difficulty in our life, he is with us. Psalm 23. And even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's really important that you and I make sure it's a priority that we're anchored into him over and above anything and anyone else, that we're anchored into Jesus, that we're locked on to him. Interestingly, the caterpillar forms his anchor in the shape of a sea. And he hooks on to the host plant. And Christ, that's a bit cheesy, isn't it? But Christ is our anchor. He is our hope of eternal life. And if we're not anchored into him, then we'll not last 5 minutes in the chrysalis of faith. So, hidden. What does that mean? What does that look like to be hidden? Hungry, I believe, which we talked about last week, was about the normal stages, happenings, events in our everyday life that create growth, create opportunities for growth. If we recognize them for what they are and embrace them and process them and work through them. But hidden is something different. Hidden is about the momentous stages of life that have the potential to bring total transformation. Okay? Key verse for us in this is Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life, which is what we'll focus on next week, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. So hidden is about moving from spiritual adolescence to spiritual adulthood. Hidden is about moving from a place of soul insecurity to a place of soul security. Hidden is about coming from a place of brokenheartedness to a place of wholeheartedness. And we can only find that in and through Jesus. And I believe that it's usually a significant moment of breakthrough in your life that leads you to that place. So we talked last week, didn't we, about those protective layers of skin that we either intentionally or unintentionally are formed around our lives. And to grow, we've got to break through those layers of skin. And essentially, that's about letting go of the things that hold us back from experiencing new life. So these momentous breakthroughs, which are different from those everyday things, these momentous breakthroughs, they could be positive, they could be negative. But it's about learning to process them and embrace them with the help of Jesus and his grace and his love and power. So these things could be something like maybe getting a promotion at work. And the new responsibility that brings kind of adds a load of pressure to your life and actually changes everything, really, the way you think, the time that you spend at work and the energy that you give to it. It changes your life. Or it could actually be the flip side of that and you lose your job. And obviously then everything changes, doesn't it? Your whole life changes and could be quite catastrophic if you don't find a new job. Another momentous breakthrough that could be positive, mostly is positive, is getting married. Incredibly positive to my life. It's just one of the best things that I've done. But obviously that changes everything. That transforms your whole life in a big way. On the flip side of that, getting divorced. A marriage breakup can have an incredible impact on your life and change everything. Becoming a parent. Wow. That changes everything. Losing a child could absolutely change your whole world. It could be lots of things, but what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to articulate is that there are big moments in our lives that we need to work through properly in order to become the person that God has designed us to become, to reach maturity in him. And if we don't work through those things, we're hindered from reaching full maturity in our faith in Christ. And so the result of these chrysalis moments in our lives is that we gain a clearer sense of identity and a greater understanding of who we are and the person God is transforming us to become. Key verse here is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it says this, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. See, I believe that there's breakthrough moments in our lives that have the potential to be so profound that they hold, that they can totally transform your life. And they either make you or they break you. I've shared a little bit about my recent story over the last kind of 10 years before, but for this, it's a really good example for me, really personally, in my own life, that about 10 years ago, I was working in a church part-time, and I was working for my brother part-time as well. He was a builder, so doing a very practical job, and then for half my week, and then for the other half of the week, I was working in a church doing youth ministry and working with worship and music and things like that. And it was great, and it got to the point where I was taken on by the church full-time. And I was loving it. I was absolutely loving it. It was just like my dream come true. Hence why I'm here now. This is what I'm doing now. But back then, I just loved it. And I gave my whole life to that. And then something happened. And at the time, I felt like it was really unjustified. And it was really painful and hurtful. But it just turned... I won't go into the detail, but it turned out that... one Thursday, I was working in the church full-time, and then the next Thursday, I wasn't working in the church full-time. Read into it what you like, but I didn't have a job in a church anymore. And over that week, it was just really hard. It was really painful. And I felt like it shouldn't have happened. But what it did was totally impact my life, because I felt like that's what I was called to. That was going to be my life forever. Going to work in a church, and I was eventually going to be a pastor and all this stuff. But at that point, and I think it's good to bear in mind that some of the things that were said to me as well almost crushed that dream, okay? Totally crushed that dream. And I just went into myself, and I thought, I can't do this. This is not what I'm made for. I thought I was made to be a church leader and this is what God you called me to, but everything else that was being said to me by several voices and including the voice in my head was saying, actually, it's not going to be how you think it was going to be. And so that sent me on a journey, really, of searching God out. And really, for about 12 months after that, we stayed in that particular church, and we had friends and family in the church. It was really hard because nobody really knew what was going on. Everybody was kind of making assumptions of what was happening with us, and we couldn't say anything, we couldn't do anything. We just carried on in the church. And it was very kind of upfront, and everybody kind of knew what was going on. And then all of a sudden, it all got closed down. But we stayed in the church for about 12 months, and it was the hardest 12 months of my life, because we were in a place that we knew we were called to be, but we weren't being released into the dream that God had for our lives. And then over the course of that 12 months, we just reassessed everything. And it came to the point we thought, let's relocate to somewhere else in the country. Let's find somewhere else to do life, and it's going to be great and have fun. We tried a few different places. We even thought about moving to Bradford. Think about that. Gosh. But we didn't. It wasn't the right thing for us. That's where I'm from, by the way, Bradford. I love it. And then it just, we just asked ourselves the question, or I asked myself the question, and I kind of threw it out to Joe and shocked her completely. And I said, what about if we apply for Bible college and just see what happens? Anyway, that's what we did. And so, as you guys know, seven, eight years ago now, that's where we came to Malvern, to the Bible college. And then we began this journey of transformation. And I know that looking back on all of that, although it was horrible at the time, it's the worst 12, 18 months of my life, because I thought it was over. I thought my life, my calling, my ministry, it was all over. But then over the course of a few years, God just transformed me and Joe, and helped us to rethink what our future would look like in Him. And we were grounded again on His promise over our lives. We were surrounded by really great people, and we were just nurtured back to life again. Now, I say that because I think that for me was a really important process. It was hard, it was painful, it was dark. At times, I didn't know if God was still, you know, alive and living. My prayer life was hard, my worship was hard, it was really tough. It felt silent. It felt like a desert experience. But out of it has come something really amazing for Joe and I. And I look at Jesus' life. And from the age of 12, Jesus grew in favor with God and with man, didn't he? And then he reached the age of 30. And what happened? He stepped out into a new season of his life. And he went down to the River Jordan, said, "Hello, cousin. Hello, John. How are you doing?" He got baptized. And then Jesus affirmed him in that moment. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him. And what happened? He went into the desert, into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And there's not many of us that would experience that, is there? But I believe that that experience for Jesus, as it talks about the Holy Spirit leading him out into the wilderness. But that experience for Jesus was crucial, I believe, in that season of his life. A bit like the first stages of a caterpillar's life. I think it was crucial for him because it crystallized his sense of identity as the Son of God before he then went out into the next 3 years, three-year season of his life in public ministry. Now, there's other Bible characters that you can think about and talk about that would have gone through similar experience, like desert experiences. Think of Joseph and his life. He's a prime example of how he had that sense of calling on his life from a young age, and then all of that was crushed and dashed, and then he went through this kind of like black period in his life, and it wasn't until later on where all of his hopes and dreams came to fruition. Jesus had a picture, a metaphor that he used, which is similar to the caterpillar picture and metaphor. It's found in John 12, verses 24 to 25. He said this, just before perhaps the ultimate kind of chrysalis moment in his life came, he said this, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." He's talking about his death. "But I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." So Jesus there is talking about seeds. And he's actually talking about the potential for new life. But unless a seed is planted, then there will not be a harvest. Seeds are planted into obscurity, aren't they? They're planted into darkness. And the potential of a seed is not actually realized until it's hidden in obscurity. In fact, the very definition of potential is something that is not yet seen. So if you see potential in something or in someone, you are seeing something that's not yet come to the surface. And with a little bit more time and with a bit of encouragement, there is a good chance that you will see in good time what you don't see with a naked eye, and it will emerge into its full potential. Isn't that true? So with both these pictures, the pictures of a seed and the pictures of a chrysalis, there's a common reality that whether we are thrust into suffering and difficulty or whether or not we are led into new challenges and opportunities, we often find ourselves in the dark. Can anybody relate to that? At any stage of your life, through difficult times or even through really amazing times, sometimes you feel out of your depth. You kind of think, how on earth did I end up here? Got this opportunity and I'm just out of my depth. Don't know what I'm doing. And it can feel like you're walking in the dark. And so the dark of the chrysalis and the dark of the soil, you will find it difficult to see what God is doing in your life. And that propels you into a new season of faith. Now, faith is all about not seeing things, isn't it? It's about living in a place where you don't see what you want. what you believe God wants. And what can often be experienced in these times of darkness, in these times of silence, in these times of desert dryness, is feelings of pain, is feelings of loss, is feelings of even grief, as you let go of the familiar and you surrender to the unknown. For the caterpillar, it's literally about letting go and trusting that as he hangs on the vine of the host plant, as he's anchored to that vine, that something new is taking place in the unknown. And the stark reality of it is that, yes, you were born to fly. You were. But to grow up, you must come down. To grow up, you must come down. That's a kingdom principle. And it's not the way of the world, which is self-promotion and self-confidence. Me, myself, and I. But it's kingdom. It's about living a life of humility. And as I heard someone explain recently, a life of Godfidence. Not self-confidence, but confidence in God. Godfidence. Matthew 23 says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." James 4 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." So just to bring this to a close, and I really want to pray for a few people today. But it's amazing, the Greek word for chrysalis is a word pronounced chrysos. And it's written, and it just looks like chrysalis. But it means gold. The word for chrysalis means gold in Greek. But it actually speaks more precisely about things made from gold. Like an image made of gold, or a gold coin. Something that's made from gold. And that implies that it's been through a melting process, or a molting process, to create something that's precious. As we look back over the last week and this week, we can see clearly that there's stages that we must go through, these molting stages in life, so that God can create something that's absolutely golden in your life. Isn't that brilliant? That as we surrender to the chrysalis process in our own lives, we can trust that God is actually doing in us something really precious, something really beautiful, and that there is in each one of us potential beyond what you could even dream or imagine. And I just believe that God wants to kind of minister into that place today. And so I want to pray for two people just as we're closing. The first kind of person that I want to pray for, this might be you. If you need to know in that season, whether or not you're going through a season of dryness, darkness, difficulty, challenge, that God wants you to realize your value in him, that you are precious, that you are golden, and that's the process that's happening in that chrysalis moment in your life. That process, which is hard and it feels dark and you feel the loss and sometimes grief, it's not about making you feel less valuable, but out of it, it's about you discovering a brand new sense of your worth in him. You are gold. And I believe that God just wants to touch your life for that. So that's the first person. If that's you, I want to pray with you, for you and with you in just a few moments. The second person is if you feel like you're either coming towards the end of a season like this, or perhaps you feel like you're right in the middle of it, there's dryness, and you feel weary, and you feel lost, tired, forgotten, in pain, or even grief-stricken, in the very final stages, just before a butterfly emerges from its chrysalis, the actual chrysalis becomes transparent so that the sun's rays can shine in on the butterfly that's just about to come out. Butterflies, the monarch butterfly, is cold-blooded, and so it needs the heat from the sun's rays to shine in to the chrysalis and onto its body so that it generates strength to break out of the chrysalis. Okay? So I believe that God wants to touch you. I believe that he wants to shine in on your life and energize you. He wants to invigorate you so that you can break out of that season of darkness and that season of dryness in your life. If that's how you feel today, God wants to touch your life. He doesn't want you to be there forever. And this day, today, might just be the breakthrough moment when you emerge out of that season and into a new season of faith in your life. I believe God wants to touch you.